Every one of us can relate to those whoopings and those good times, and our hearts and our lives for what our parents have done for us. If you got your Bible this morning, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea of when the Lord opens your heart. When the Lord opens your heart. And as we share this, got to give you an update that Paul had a vision. And in that vision, there was a man standing there compelling him to come down to Philippi to be with him. And immediately Paul, realizing that it was a visit from the Lord and that it was needful for him to go over to Macedonia, and the capital of the city of Macedonia there was Philippi, where this story is going to take place here. And so when they got out here and got on this journey of what they were going to do in their hearts and their lives, the scripture says in verse 13 that on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither. It's a sad thing to know that because Paul was bringing a new found religion to the people there in Philippi, that they refused to allow him to have prayer meeting inside the city. They had some arches on the entranceways into the city. And they had inscribed on those, or written on those arches on the city, that there was to be no unrecognizable meeting of any type religion without the knowings of the authorities. So the women, they band themselves together, and they went out and they found a quiet place by a riverside. And as they were there by the riverside and joined that, Paul, having nowhere to speak, went. And he began to care if he could join in with the women. They allowed him to do so. The scripture said that we all sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither. I couldn't help but ask myself the question, where's the men? Why was there not men with the women? My answer was the same as I think about today with so many of us. If it wasn't for our women and their faithfulness and their doing what the Lord has called them to do, where would we be in many of our churches today? Many of the activities that we have and stuff. You can ask yourself the question, well, what did these prayer meetings out where nobody heard them, nobody knew about them, they had to use this place of secrecy out there. Paul went out and joined them. What avail did it have? What value was it to it? Look at verse 14. It said, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Here's Lydia. She's a seller of purple. Purple was a very valuable cloth in that day and time because it was used mainly for royalty to make the robes and stuff, and it was a very precious and very expensive piece of material. Lydia was a merchant in that. We don't know why she came down to Philippi, but it was probably business related that brought her down there. She also heard about this prayer meeting, and she went out to join them. She was already under conviction about what the Lord would have her to do in her heart and her life before she came to this business trip that she's on. And the scripture says here that God heard us. Don't ever think that you and I come together in the name of the Lord to worship Him that He doesn't hear us. My question is, do we hear Him sometimes? What did Paul do? He heard the Macedonian call from his man that was standing in the road. And he answered that call. He came, and now he finds himself at a prayer meeting. Don't you think that he probably asked himself, what am I doing in all this? But God's at work. He's got a plan. Let's see what happens here. Lydia's under conviction. She's a seller of purple. She wants to get all that she can. She'd been worshiping God, but she wasn't a child of God yet. But the scripture says that when she heard us, she worshiped God, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She followed him and what he was preaching. What did Paul preach? Repentance. You got to come to know the Lord as your Savior. That she attended unto those things, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. When she was baptized, she believed the things that Paul was saying concerning the words of God. She followed the Lord in New Testament baptism. And the scripture says, not only her, but her whole household, all of those that worked in her businesses that are part of her life that made up the value of her stuff there. She said to them, guys, if you have found me to be faithful, come to my house and stay with me. I wonder how many of us would open the doors of our homes today to a man of God that would come to share the good news of Jesus with us. When I was a child, that was a common thing. Revival time, you know, and we had 2-week revivals in morning and evening service and all the amenities that went with it and stuff. Someone to lead the singing, someone to do the preaching, the whole nine yards, you know. Someone to feed lunch, someone to feed supper, stuff. Open their homes up, keep a stranger 2 weeks at a time. And certainly think about that. Unheard of today. What? If I'd put out that plea, we'd everyone come up with a reason. Well, I don't think I can do that. You know, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. She came and volunteered. She said, if you judge me to be faithful, here's what I want you to do. Come to my house. Let me take care of you and the things that needs to happen. And she didn't just offer that as a gesture. She constrained them. She made them come. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And it came to pass. What does that mean, church? It happened. As we went to prayer, here we're going out to pray again, a certain damsel, or young girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Here this young girl had a gift of divination, and she could tell fortune, the future, and different things. And the scripture says that she brought her master much gain by soothsaying, by all this that she was doing and saying. But listen what happens here. Verse 17, it said, the same followed Paul and us and cried and said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She's foretelling the future, fortune teller, about what's going to happen. She gets it right about these men here, even though she's doing it in a wrong spirit. Scripture says, she said about them, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. She followed Paul around. He was grieved, and he turned, and he said to the Spirit, after he gotten fed up with over and over and over and over, she was saying, these men are the servants of the Most High. She wasn't doing that in a complimentary way. She was doing that in a negative way. Paul had enough. The Scripture says he, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Paul had that kind of power because he was in step with the will of God for his life. He began that on the road to Damascus when he was struck blind. And he had followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit everywhere he went, doing everything he's doing in his heart and his life. And here, that's the Spirit of God is working in the hearts and lives of this lady. The Lord's able to hear her heart and open that ability. Listen what takes place now. It came to pass. That means it happened. So after grieving him, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the same hour it did. And when her master saw that the hope of their game was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. All of a sudden, their easy money is drying up because the demon has been withdrawn from her body. And now they don't have any way to make their money. They grab Paul and them, drag them outside, inside to the city. And the Scripture says that these men are Jews, and they are doing exceedingly troublesome things in our city. You know, when I look around today in our own little county, I see a lot of stuff that's troubling that's taking place in our little county, our state, and especially in our nation as a whole. What are we doing about it? What are we saying? They ask for an explanation, verse 21. And these men, these Jews, they said, they're teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, we being Romans. What I tell you was printed on them arches out there? No one was allowed to enter the city with any other religion other than the Roman law would allow. That's just bringing it down to you in simple terms. And they bring in these ideas. Evidently, whenever Paul was grieved with this and ordered that demon to come out of that child, he wasn't out there on the side of the river. He was inside the city. These folks seen it. They said, this bunch of Jews has drug in all these different religions and thoughts and stuff, and they are teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive. They ain't supposed to come through those arches doing that. And neither are they to observe anything but Roman law. The multitude rose up against them. Boy, they stirred the people up. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They stripped them and tore their clothes away. And they took whips and began to beat Paul, Silas, as they're sharing here. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, in verse 23, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. See, those prisoners, when given the responsibility of a prison, those guards, when they were given the responsibility of that prisoner, if they let anything happen to him, they had to pay with their own lives. So he was making real sure, after all had been done to Paul and Silas here, that they would make sure they didn't go. Put them in the inner cell. Put them in stocks. Guards on the doors. Everything protect a prisoner. Paul and Silas has been beaten, thrown in that cold dungeon, left for dead, didn't care. The scripture says here that they suffered many stripes before they were cast into prison. I want to ask you something. Very simple. Did it cost you anything to come to the church house this morning? Did it cost you anything? Did you have to be worried that you may have to face some kind of penalty or harm or whatever? If you be honest with me, most of you had to tell me it never crossed my mind, Brother Larry. Never crossed my mind. Never thought about it. I thought I was going to the safest place in the world. But I'm telling you, folks, our freedoms is getting taken away from us more and more every day we live. Fulfilling of the scripture, sure. That's an easy way out. You know, everybody, when you talk about it, what our world's, the mess it's in, the direction it's headed, what do we say? Signs of the time. You know, it's, you read the Bible, it'll tell you that, you know. They said what they heard someone else say. But I believe in the power of prayer. You know, and as we're going to send our team off to Peru, you know, and I've challenged you in the last 2 weeks, our biggest responsibility is to pray for them and the things that happen. Will God honor that? Look at this last verse, and I'll hush. Verse 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas can't sleep. They're awake, and I think perhaps the reason they're awake is because all those stripes is on their body from the beating that they took out in the streets. And the scripture says they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loose. All that were in there were freed to go out. But the scripture says the guard came running in, saw what happened. Drew his sword, was going to kill himself rather than face the punishment of the Roman government. Paul said, hold it. Don't do it. Don't do it. God is a God. Second, third, fourth chances in our life. He'll give us opportunities that none other will give us in our daily walk. We've recognized our moms, both living and those that's gone on to be with the Lord. We've recognized our children as they've been dedicated, our babies, to the Lord. But do we stop and pay tribute to God and thank Him for all the blessings that He's blessed us with in our hearts and our lives? The things that He has for us. How's the greatest way we can do that? Through prayer. Talk with the Lord. Share with Him His feelings, His thoughts. Which of us could be what we are today if it wasn't for the blessing that the Lord blessed us, the skills, the abilities to do the things that we do in our hearts and our lives? And He did it with a divine plan for you and I to help Him reach a lost and dying world round about us. Would you pray with me? A few moments, Brother Ernie will come and we'll have a verse of invitation. What about the struggles in your life? Paul was doing well. When the man of God spoke to him and said, urged him to come down to Macedonia. And he went to the capital city of Macedonia, which was Philippi. He found a group of ladies. He was forbidden from preaching inside the city. But he found a little group of ladies praying, such as our little group of ladies here have their prayer chain, and they come together and they pray. When we have a need or urgency of something coming up, we know if we can get it to the prayer chain, they'll get it scattered. Prayer will be reached for the need of whoever, whatever it was they were compelled to do. Paul found him in that position. Men, sadly, it was just women were the guys. Where's the men? What's hindering them from having their prayer and doing the things that God would have them to do? And then when it gets time for us to reach out to a lost and dying world, we can't go unprepared if we don't pray up, get ready. It ain't going to avail nothing in our lives. When old Lydia, who heard the preaching, believed the preaching, but when God opened her heart, then she followed Him in New Testament baptism and became a believer in her heart. What's hindering you this morning? I believe that many of you, God's hand of conviction is trying to woo you and draw you to a right relationship with Him. And you're running and running and running away from God. These altars are open. Instead of running away, run to God. Come fall on your face before God and just ask Him to forgive you, cleanse you, and make you whole again. Whatever the Lord may be dealing with you about, I'm going to ask Him to stir your heart. Allow that Spirit to speak through you. Father, as we go into this time of invitation, you know the need of every one of us. Give us the unk to do what you would have us to do, and we'll be giving you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What are we going to sing, brother?
Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come.